Let us then turn in God's Word to Psalm 54 as we continue in our study of the Psalms. We come to the 54th Psalm as we have been hearing about David in his trials as he is dealing with Saul and with many other things that went on. We continue that here. So let us hear together God's Word from Psalm 54. We'll read together the whole of the Psalm as our text and as our scripture reading this morning. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O God, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this passage of God's Word, I was rather surprised as I was just reading the opening little intro there. Of course, we know that they are not inspired by God, but they are very helpful and oftentimes far more accurate than you would believe when you consider that they were put into the text far later. I pulled out my Hebrew, and the first verse in English is the third verse in Hebrew. That's quite a title there. To the chief musician with stringed instruments, a contemplation of David, when the Ziphites went and said to Saul, "Is David not hiding with us?" I want to read a little bit from 1 Samuel chapter 23, as we consider what's going on here. David stayed in the strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. And jumping a little bit in there, then the Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is not David hiding with us in the strongholds of the woods in the hill Hakkelah, which is in the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul, come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Please go out and find for sure and see the place where his hideout is, and see who is with him there. For I am told that he is very crafty." And Saul went out. Guess what? God protected David. Second time, the Ziphites go back to Saul and say, "Hey, he's over here now." These guys were very much against David. Now, I think it's interesting that in the midst of this sort of thing, there is a division of allegiance. When we think of our own Civil War, the Presbyterian Church in the United States, far different than it is now, said, "It's difficult. We have two different countries, and our people are to be, in subjection to the rulers of their nation." And so the Ziphites were doing only what was right as far as they could understand before God. And yet for David, it was putting his life in danger. And David was, of course, the anointed of God. And so he prays this prayer. And I want to think about the order of this psalm. It's so powerful. David starts out, if you look at our divisions of our points this morning, he prays to the Lord for his help in danger. The second, verses 4 and 5, he reminds himself and he prays that God would be just in his judgment of these people. But notice especially that last verse. He has delivered me out of all trouble. David, even as he prays this, and I think we can say this is before David was safe, from a human perspective, says, I'm safe in God. God has delivered me out of all my trouble. And brothers and sisters, we have to realize that as Christians, yes, we have struggles, we have trials in this life. But we have to understand that those even were told by God come from His hand. And they're there for our blessing, for our good and for God's glory. And so even in those times in which life is very difficult, there are Christians who have won the race by dying for the cross. That is not losing. That is victory. And God uses that. And so David can pray before the fact, you have delivered me out of the hands of my enemies. Because he knows that God is the one who protects, that God is the one who provides, and God is the one who directs our lives for what is important. That God has delivered his people out of all trouble. And so as we've already looked at the points that we want to see in our sermon this morning, out of God's word is the Lord hears my prayers in danger, verses 1 through 3. The Lord upholds his people and judges their enemies, verses 4 and 5. And our response to God for his deliverance is worship, that's verses 6 and 7. God protects his people from the danger of their enemies. That's the theme that we want to see as we look at God's word this morning. God protects his people from the danger of their enemies. So first of all, the Lord hears my prayers in danger. David relies on God for his strength. He cries out, save me, O God. David looks to God for salvation, physical salvation, from the danger of the Ziphites. As we've already noted, he already knows that God is going to protect him and direct things in the manner in which he desires. But the Ziphites have been telling Saul where David sleeps at night, and when you're running away from the king, that's a dangerous place to be. And brothers and sisters, we must learn from this. That we look to God for the salvation from our sins, from all of our enemies. Our enemies are not just physical, they're spiritual. And we understand by the Word of God that Christ has delivered us from all of our physical and spiritual enemies. And we can have hope in Him. And so we ought to cry out to God, save me. And then the instrument of salvation is very interesting in that first verse, isn't it? By your name. Well, what is that about? I think a better translation of by might have been in. In your name. David's salvation is not about him. David's salvation from Saul is about God and God's promise to him. God had anointed David to be the next king of Israel. David's trust was in God, that he would bring that about. And God put his name on the line by doing that. And David rests in that fact. God has sworn that David would be king. He has anointed him. Well, the parallel to us is about our salvation. It's not about us. It's about God's name and about Him fulfilling His promise to save us. Again, it's about God's promise. We read by the writer to the Hebrews, since God could swear by no name, nothing higher, He swore by Himself, by His very existence. And He would save. And so, brothers and sisters, as we consider our own salvation, so often we think it's about me. Me and Jesus. But when we put it into the context of God's Word, it's about God and His glory and His decision to save. And so we don't then say, Lord, look how good I am. I got to be acceptable to You now, right? But we can come to God and say, God, You promised. God, You swore that You would save those who believe on You. Lord, I believe. I fail. But You do not fail. See how that takes that out of our daily struggle with sin and with this world. And gives us confidence and hope. Even in those times when we fail and fall far short. Every day. And David cries out, vindicate me by Your strength. Again, David is relying and placing his very life on God's promises to him. And so David says, vindicate that fact. Show that fact that I am truly right in relying on God and God's power applied. And God avails His strength on behalf of His people. It not ought to be our prayer that God would vindicate our trust in Him by God's strength overthrowing His and our enemies. God promises again and again that the wicked will not stand. And so often it seems like the wicked are standing. We need to be in prayer to Almighty God. You promised that You would cast down wickedness. And we pray, Lord, that wickedness would be cast down and truth would be shown and Your Word, Lord, would be shown that it is truth. Vindicate me by Your strength. In verse 2, David prays that God would hear his prayer. David seeks God's hearing and consideration of his prayer, of his cry. And as Christians, while we know that God hears our prayers, we still need to remember that we're not worthy that God should hear us. So we need to make requests to His throne to be heard. Not because I'm worthy, but because of our elder brother of Christ, who is worthy. And so we approach the throne of God, the throne of grace, not because, Lord, You got to listen to me. I'm important. But through Jesus Christ saying, Lord, hear our prayers. And God does hear David's prayer. He hears our prayers. And as I've said, this ought to cause us to wonder. Now, most of us wouldn't expect to get 30 seconds in the time of the president, no matter who it happens to be. The God of the universe takes time to listen to you and to me when we cry out to Him. That just makes me shiver. And of course, we're told that strangers and oppressors have sought David's life. Strangers have risen up against me. Often we don't know where the trouble is coming from, where the danger is coming from. But it is a major danger to David's life. And David continues to say, oppressors have sought after my life. David knows who the oppressor is. Saul. Saul has power over him as king and is seeking to kill David. Those who have power over others often use that power for evil. Even as we consider today in China, the power of the state is being brought to bear against the Christian church there, saying they can't preach, saying they can't gather. And we need to understand that we are to pray as those we're bound with our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we also can be bound and have our blood shed. And so David says, oppressors have sought after my life. Saul is seeking to destroy David. We have to understand that there are spiritual oppressors as well that seek to fight against us and to tell us bad things about ourselves, to remind us of our sins. I love what Martin Luther said, when the devil throws my sins in my face, he says, and says that I'm not worthy of anything. He said, I respond with, yes, but I have a Savior who has fully washed and fully cleansed all of my sins. So when our sins are thrown in our face and we fail, we don't say, no, I'm okay. We say, the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, I deserve hell, but I have a Savior. And so there is oppression on us that we need to be careful of. There are oppressors across this world that we need to be praying for our fellow Christians who are under that struggle. And remember, what does God say? Verse 3. No matter how earthly powerful they are, they have to answer to God. They have not considered God. They have not set God before them. If they haven't considered God and His judgment, looking forward to the second part of the psalm, they're going to do foolish things. If oppressors and those who fight against God's people would consider the danger that they're in, they would not fight against Him. Think about what Gamaliel says in Acts as he deals with the apostles, and they were persecuting the apostles. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. God is the one who fights, and God is the one who overthrows our enemies. And that's what we see in verses 4 and 5. The Lord upholds His people and judges their enemies. The Lord is our helper, upholding our life. That first phrase, just again, the Lord is my helper? No, I'm not worthy to be scraped off His shoe. Yet this is what God says about Himself. The Lord of the universe helps us. Think of the prodigal son who says, I'm not worthy to even to be called your son, I'll just be a servant. But God cares for us as His people. He directs the universe. Notice what the Catechism says, question and answer 1. Yea, that all things must work together for my salvation. Not just about other Christians, but about me. God is working out all things to that end. We don't need to fear no matter what goes on. God cares for His people. David realizes that fact. Not only is David certain that God will save him, David is certain that God is caring even for those who uphold his life. Now there may seem to be few and far apart from David's perspective and our perspective as well. But David reminds himself that God is the one who's protecting even the people who are helping David. We don't need to fear. God cares for His people. We can stand before danger and even death, as David does here, and trust. Think about Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. What did they say to Nebuchadnezzar? As dangerous a man as you could expect on this earth, Nebuchadnezzar held their lives in his hand. And they said, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image you have set up." And they said, "No way. Not going to happen. We're going to worship God." Their statement is true, no matter if God delivers them from the fire. God would have delivered them from having to deal with Nebuchadnezzar's sinful ideas if God had taken them through death. Now, I hope we never have to make that sort of statement and choice in this country, but I'm not certain that's true. But we need to be confident in God's care for us as His people, and God's care never fails. Even when we die for the faith, as many have, God's care doesn't fail. You have to understand that. Notice verse 5. He will repay His people's enemies for evil. On the other hand, we can be confident that God is just and will justly punish those who fight against His people. 2 Peter 3, 5 through 7. For this they willingly forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which now are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God is preserving this world, and part of that reason is that He is going to have a day of judgment of all ungodly men, and Satan, by the way. And God is preserving this world until the last person whom He has called believes on Him. And so God will repay. And notice, David says, "Cut them off in your truth." David's danger was physical, yet he had God's promise that he was going to be king. He didn't have to fear that God's promise would change. Our danger is spiritual, sin and hell. In Christ, we don't have to fear these dangers. Jesus is God's word, truth, made flesh. And He came to save us from that danger of hell. And third, then we have David's response. Already said. While he's in the middle of the trouble, yeah, we could perhaps say that this might be afterward, that he added a few lines at the end, after God saved him, but I'm very certain that that's not true. He says, "I will freely sacrifice to you." The proper place for one who has been saved by Christ is worship. David promises to make unlimited sacrifices to God if God delivers him. Thank offerings. We ought to take note from that. If God saves us, and when God delivers us from danger on this earth, physical and spiritual, we ought to worship and give offerings to God from what He has given to us. And David says, "I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good." I'm going to speak of what God has done and who He is. To tell what God has done for us is a fitting response. I think too often we keep our lips zipped about what God has done in saving us. That's the opposite of what we should be doing. As Christians, we have been saved from hell. Don't forget that. God deserves a note. God deserves our whole lives lived in thanksgiving to Him. And so David glorifies God for his deliverance beforehand. These last lines of the psalm, as I said, could be written after the deliverance, but I'm quite certain not. David, in the midst of the trouble, relies so much on God's promises that he makes the statement of his being saved from Saul in the past tense. He has delivered me out of all trouble. Now, looking back, previously David could remember that God had already delivered him out of all the troubles that he had sent. And David has this attitude looking forward to this. God has delivered me. While I may fear, I know what's going to happen. Maybe not the details, but God will bring deliverance as He has always in the past. You remember, if you ever see commercials on TV, past performance does not indicate the future, whatever it is. With God, past performance does indicate future performance. God is consistent. He says, "My eye has seen its desire upon my enemies." God brings judgment. Now, God would not show David that full judgment on Saul until much later. But God brings judgment, and in His justice, He brings it against the enemies of His people. Those who fight against God's people will receive just judgment. Now, the Psalms have these things called imprecatory Psalms, which are Psalms which call down God's judgment on God's enemies. And sometimes we shy away from them. In fact, if you look in the back of our hymnals at the Psalm readings, you'll notice that there are whole sections of the Psalms, that Psalter sections, that are missing from the Psalms. Weird. Those are the imprecatory Psalms, which call down God's judgment. And guess what? We should be praying those. And saying, "Lord, You call us to pray these. There are those who fight against Your people, and it is righteous to pray that God would bring just judgment on His enemies, on our enemies." This life is truly a battle. Too often in the United States, we don't think about it that way. But it is. We need to be very careful to know what we're doing in this life. And if you think about going back, Abraham Lincoln was asked in the middle of the Civil War if God was on our side, the Union side. And Abraham Lincoln said, "Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right." How do we live? As we look at this passage, we need to realize that those who fight against God will be judged. But those who trust in God, though our lives may be and are more difficult sometimes, God is the one who provides life and victory, not just on this earth, eternally. And so, brothers and sisters, God is the one who protects us. And we need to be very careful to put ourselves on God's side. And then we don't need to fear. No matter what the world, no matter what the spiritual enemies put in our way, God is the one who directs every step. And He will direct them perfectly for our good and for His glory. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace and prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice in Your care for us. We stand in awe that we can even say those words, that You care for us, miserable sinners, worms. And yet this is what You teach us. And we pray, Lord, that we would truly honor and glorify You who have given to us everything. We pray, O Lord, that we would live lives of thanksgiving and of service to You in all that we say and do and think. We pray, O Lord, that we would rely on You for protection, not on our own abilities, not on our own strength, but in You. And we thank You for the victory which has been secured in our Savior, in Jesus Christ. For it is in Christ's name that we pray, even as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.